Welcome back to the Pastor's Pregame Podcast. I'm your host, Lisa Scheffler, and today I'm joined by two special guests. Will and Crystal Yates are our worship leaders here at Christ Fellowship, and they are here because this week we are talking about the practice of worshiping in a gathering. Why is it important that we gather together to worship on a Sunday morning? Can't we just watch sermons on our own time and listen to Spotify to get our worship music? No, we absolutely need to come together to worship the Lord in a gathering. And today we're going to talk about why. And of course, Bruce will also be here because we're going to talk about the Lord's Supper and why that is an important part of our worship services as well. All right. Welcome back, everybody, to the Pastor's Pregame. We are recording this a little different. We're recording this in sections because
a little something creative and different.
Well, it's everyone's schedules.
I thought it was that you have to be creative. You can't be the same.
Well, that part of it is that too. I'm not one for routine, honestly. But Will and Crystal will be coming in later to record their part. So I have Bruce here first, and we are going to talk.
Then they can correct whatever I said wrong.
Yes. Because our goal today is to talk about worship in a gathering. That's the practice we're on in the X. So we've talked about engage God individually. We've talked about worshiping. We've talked about connecting in a group. That was the big.
Do we have to go back over this X for you, Lisa? Is this?
I guess so. It's been a long day, Bruce.
Engage God individually, connect in a group.
And now we're talking about worshiping in a gathering. And so, okay, here's my question that I get from people. And maybe they don't say it quite this bluntly, but this is kind of the hint, is I can listen to sermons online on YouTube or podcasts, and I have access to every worship song ever created thanks to Spotify. Why do I need to come to church on Sunday? What do I get at church on Sunday that's different from something I can get anywhere else?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. I hope Will and Crystal have a better answer, but no.
Well, I'm going to ask them this too.
Yeah, there is something powerful about God's people gathered together, all filled with the Holy Spirit, that there is a spiritual dynamic of people gathered together, singing together, celebrating the Lord's Supper together in the same physical space. Actually, even apart from the Holy Spirit and that dynamic, there is something powerful about human beings gathering together. Humans have always gathered together to tell stories, to sing, and there's some camaraderie that is just powerful.
I was laughing because I saw a great little video on Instagram, and someone was panning across a stadium full of people at the Taylor Swift concert. You know, she's touring now, selling out 100,000 seat stadiums. Multiple nights in a row. You can't even get tickets. And she, the girl in the video was like, you know, I totally understand why this many people are here to see Taylor Swift. What I don't get is why people come every Sunday to see football. But it just goes to show you is something powerful that draws us together, and it may be different things.
There is. Like people say there's a difference between going and watching a football game in a stadium versus watching on TV.
Yeah, and it's like, why would you spend the money to go see it? Well, because it's an experience.
It's an experience.
And so there is something really powerful about people gathered together centered around a certain thing that they love.
That's right. And so then you have add that human dynamic.
Yeah.
The Taylor Swift concert, the football game. Or a group of friends getting together, a Friendsgiving.
Right.
Add the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And there is a supernatural dynamic to God's people united together, that God's present, he's active in a unique way when his people all gather together and worship together.
Yeah, I think I actually wrote this in the study guide, and I was like, hey, this is pretty good. When the Spirit is active in us, it will be active among us.
That's right.
So,
except the Spirit's not an it. Other than that, that was a great sentence.
Oh, yeah, you're right. And the Spirit, he will be active among us. So coming together, you know, I revisited, this is a book we both read years ago, but I revisited it recently, James K.A. Smith.
Yeah, such a good book.
You Are What You Love. And he talks a lot about how we're just, you know, it's the Augustine quote, you know, you have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it rests in you. And he kind of plays on that and talks about how that, you know, really to be truly and fully human, you have to find yourselves, but you find yourself not in yourself, but in your relationship to the one who created you.
That's right.
And so really to, you know, we're going to worship something, And so he's like, you know, we have to, if we're going to really be Christians who are devoted to God, we have to love God. We have to worship God. We have to turn our affections towards him. And so I think that's powerful. And he's very practical, but he's like, the way you do that is through habit. And so coming to church on Sunday is a habit, and that habit forms you.
Yeah, what you do repeatedly forms you.
Yeah.
Whether you want it to or not, it just does.
Yeah. And you think about all the other things that we do habitually in our life. You know, back to football every Sunday afternoon, where will people be from, you know, right now, preseason, right, all the way through February? People will be sitting in front of their television, a lot of people, on Sundays.
And you know rituals that go along with it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. The food you eat.
People are going to buy and sell a lot of wings.
The special socks you wear because...
That's right. You put on the special socks, the special shirt, no matter what it smells like, it's the shirt that my team wins with.
That's right. That's right. So we do that. We are people, creatures of habit, and we do... when we care about something, we invest ourselves in something. It's a form of worship. And so, you know, the idea that we need to come and be together and be expectant to see God move. And I think that's where a lot of us fail. Like, some of us grew up going to church, and so it's become a habit, you know, and it feels weird on a Sunday morning if you're not going to church, but we don't necessarily come expecting to experience God in any real sense. We go to hear a good message and then maybe sing and see our friends.
And so, I think that's really sad, and it really hurts us, and mm-hmm. we don't know it. We don't see it. Because church can become routine in a way that becomes empty. Or maybe it's just checking something off the box.
Yeah.
Or just what we do. But to actually prepare your heart and mind on Sunday morning, let's get just practical, that rather than coming at the last minute, racing into the parking lot, checking the kids in and coming in late, to come early enough to take a breath.
Yeah.
To quiet your soul. And even before you come, while you're getting dressed and getting ready to play some worship music, to pray, I wonder what God has for me today.
Exactly. Come with expecting. Yeah. Knowing that God is going to be present.
That's right.
And active among his people. And I know I've had some powerful moments of where I felt like God really spoke to me, not audibly, but spoke to
me. But I have too.
During corporate worship.
I found myself in tears in worship songs unexpectedly.
Yeah.
Or particular lyrics just speaking to where I am, some of my hopes and dreams or fears.
Yeah.
And just like, this is just right for me right now.
Yeah. And that's why 21 Days was so powerful, because we gathered together multiple nights in a row expecting to see God show up. And that's powerful. Okay, so that's one thing we can do. We can be expectant. We can prepare ourselves. And then I'm going to let Will and Crystal talk some about what it's like in the room. I think they're great people to talk to because they see us.
That's right.
From the stage.
They're looking at everybody.
They're looking at everybody. So I'm excited to get their insight. But I wanted to talk to you specifically about the Lord's Supper.
Sure, sure.
Because I know several years ago we went from, like a lot of non-denominational churches, we did it, you know, once a month, once every few weeks. And then you made the shift to do it every week. So why did you do that?
Yeah, great question. The elders graciously gave me a sabbatical in 2017, 5 years ago, and I was not to come to church. That was for my own soul, my own benefit.
I could not go to this church.
Yeah, I could go to other churches, and I didn't go anywhere for a while. And one of the things I missed that surprised me was the Lord's Supper. And I thought, you know, I'm going to research the Lord's Supper. It's been a while since I studied the Lord's Supper, and I began to study it. And I looked in the scripture at what did the early church do. And what's fascinating and surprising to me, a lot of people, is there's no description of a worship service in the New Testament.
Yeah, which is surprising.
Yeah, Acts
chapter 2. There's no rules about.
No. Acts chapter 2 was the earliest gathering right after Pentecost. They were meeting in homes and temple courts every day. Yeah. It wasn't a church. It wasn't a worship service. I mean, you could call it a church. I guess it was a Jerusalem church. And so there's a little description in 1 Corinthians 14, but not much. There's nothing that says they had a sermon every week. We don't even have an example of a sermon. Paul's speeches in Acts aren't really sermons.
Yeah, they're more evangelistic
right,
messages.
Right, and he's speaking, he's in a legal situation.
Yeah, that's
defending
true.
Himself.
Yeah.
So there's no description of taking an offering every week or praying every week except the Lord's Supper. Mm. And it says, as often as they gathered or on the first day of the week, they ate together.
Mm-hmm.
And so they, and it appears, basically we know, they had a meal and celebrated the Lord's Supper, or as often as they gathered, it says. In Acts chapter 2, actually eating together is the only thing mentioned twice. Mm-hmm. And so, best I could tell, it looks like if there was one thing you would do weekly, it'd be the Lord's Supper.
And that's something that a lot of churches aren't doing weekly.
We were doing it monthly. Yeah. Some people do it quarterly, or don't make a big deal about it. So then I started looking at the history of the church, and that the Lord's Supper is something that is consistent across Catholic, Orthodox, Presbyterian, Lutheran, you know, you name the Episcopal, everybody celebrates the Lord's Supper. And the majority of kinds of Christians around the world through history have celebrated the Lord's Supper weekly. And in fact, the flow of worship, somewhat generically, but if you went across all traditions, is a call to worship, some sort of invitation to worship, to God's presence or to the worshipers, followed by the word, followed by the table, followed by some blessing or sending out, mm-hmm. a blessing, a benediction. That is the broad flow of worship across all traditions. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, wow, we've not seen as high a value in the table. Mm-hmm. And in some traditions, the table, the Lord's Supper, is more important than the sermon.
Yeah.
Which is surprising to me, and I'm not sure that's not where I am. That's not what I believe today.
It's not where you landed.
But I thought, I think it'd be valuable for us to try celebrating the Lord's Supper every week. So we did a series on what's called the Upper Room Discourse, John 14 to 16, 17, where Jesus is with his disciples and celebrates the Lord's Supper. And I said, why don't we do the Lord's Supper every week for this series, like for 8 weeks? So we did. And then the question was, well, do you want to continue? And we said, why don't we survey the church? And when you survey church people and give them, you know, A, B, C, D option, this was, do you want to celebrate the Lord's Supper weekly, monthly, quarterly, or annually? Mm-hmm. Usually it's all over the map.
Yeah.
We know people. So we were shocked. The results were over 80% said weekly.
Yeah.
And so we began celebrating the Lord's Supper on a weekly basis.
Yeah. So there's different views. Let's get into the theology.
I don't think that's a command, by the way, but right. I think it is a pattern, yeah. A biblical pattern.
And we feel confident that that's a good thing to do.
Right.
And we've done it now for 5 years.
Right.
And it now it is a habit. It's part of the flow of the service. Sometimes we do it at the beginning. Sometimes we do it at the end. But I think it's something we all expect.
Right.
And
we're not saying we would be bad or against God if we didn't do it one Sunday.
If you go to a church that doesn't do it every week, they're not a
totally
bad church.
That's totally fine. Yeah. And if we don't do it some Sunday, don't think we've abandoned something.
Yes. Yeah, because there's nothing magical in it.
Right.
It's not like it's somehow uniquely blessing to take the Lord's Supper. But it is and that's what we're going to talk about next. It's what is the Lord's Supper meant to do? Because there's four main views. You know, there's the transubstantiation view, which is that the wine and the bread actually become the body and blood of Christ. Right. Then there's the memorial view, and then there's the real presence view. So tell us a little bit about, you know, what the different views are.
Sure. You got to get in there consubstantiation too.
There was one I was missing.
That's why there's two of us here to remember them all.
Yes.
And so the transubstantiation view is a classic Roman Catholic view, mm-hmm. which is the elements somehow literally become the body and blood of Christ. I think that's a misreading of...
When Jesus says, this is my body, they...
Metaphor, this is my body. Yeah. It's like saying God is a rock. No, he's not a rock. He's like a rock.
He is the door. That's the gate.
It's a figure of speech. Yeah, gate, etc. Sheep, lion.
Yeah.
So I think it's a misreading. The consubstantiation view is often associated with Lutheranism, which is the Lord is present in some way, sort of with the elements. Con mm-hmm. means with. Mm-hmm. Doesn't actually transform, but with. The memorial view is the view I grew up with, which is it's symbolic, that the bread and the wine are symbolic of the body and blood of Christ, and it's a memorial remembrance. Mm-hmm. But I've come to a spiritual presence view, which is that in a unique way, God is present, or I would use the word active, in the gathering of the Lord's people celebrating the Lord's Supper. So it's not the elements themselves, but it's in the midst of all of us. God is active. The reason I use the word active over present is God is omnipresent. So he's present everywhere.
Right.
But by presence, often we mean something more like activity. So if you say to someone going through a tough time, I'm with you.
Yeah.
You mean something more than I'm physically present.
Yeah. Or just like be present. Like that's a big saying now.
Be present.
Be present. And that just means don't be checked out. Don't be, right. Be active.
Yeah, it doesn't mean your body exists in that space. We know that.
Yeah, we know that. Yeah.
It's that you're present, but you're not present. Mm-hmm. And so God is present to us. He's active. He's with us, for us, in a unique way in the act of us celebrating the Lord's Supper together.
So, okay, well, that concludes Bruce's portion of this podcast. Okay.
Well, I love worship, and I think I do. I really do think sometimes, no, that more people in the United States more commonly undervalue worship these days, and so don't come
right
for relatively small, minor reasons. And I think recapturing, or maybe realizing for the first time, the power of weekly gathering for worship to grow you in Christ and connect you to God and give you spiritual strength is worth recapturing.
Yeah, I agree. When I worked on the Engage God Daily for this week, I was reminded once again how important it is and how we take it for granted. And it really is a place that we can come and experience God together with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And there's something precious about that.
That's
and of
right.
course, you ask people in other parts of the world who aren't allowed to gather, they're like, you're crazy. Why would you not go and gather with your brothers and sisters? You're allowed to. We're not
That's right.
allowed to. So, all right. Well, thank you very much, Bruce. I think that was helpful.
You are welcome.
And then we'll see you at Will and Crystal Say when they come in.
I hope they agree with me.
All right. Well, we're back, kind of. 24 hours have passed, dear listener, since I last recorded, and there are two different people sitting in front of me. Bruce has now left the building, and now Will and Crystal are here. If you don't know, Will and Crystal Yates, Will is our official worship pastor, and Crystal, your title is worship leader?
Yes.
Yeah, but we're not big on titles around here, so I never know what people's titles are. If you've been here in person, or even if you watched online, you've seen them on stage. And so I thought, who better to get a perspective on worship from than Will and Crystal? So what I want to know first is, I want to know a little bit about your background. How did you end up in church world? Because you're both talented, and I know, you know, I can say that. You won't say it about yourself. But you're both very talented. And you could be doing other things out in the secular world. You could be making music in lots of different venues. And I know you do. I know you perform, and Crystal, you write songs, and Will, you do too. But what draws you to work for a church?
I think for me, it was my experience as a young child. I would visit church, and there was this one particular first memory I have of church was I was sitting by in between my cousins. My granny had taken me to visit her church when I was staying with her. And I will just never forget the night and the way I felt. And the way worship had made me feel particularly, it really began as even, you know, a five-year-old began to kind of knock on the door of my heart and bring up these feelings and emotions that I had never felt before. And it was just a night of worship at a church. And that was what moved me into then asking a cousin, well, she actually looked at me and she said, "What's wrong?" And I said, "I don't know." She goes, "Oh, that's Jesus." And I was like, what does he want? She's like, he wants you to follow him. He wants to live in your heart. So worship was a way for me that opened up my heart
to connect to God.
So from that moment, I knew like I wanted to facilitate those kind of moments for other people. Mm-hmm. And so just all my life that moment marked me. Mm-hmm. And so it stayed with me my whole life until, you know, fast forward, I meet my tall, handsome husband, Will, and, you know, he plays piano and he's following Jesus. I had just came to like truly know the Lord. And I was like, I can see God actually doing this now. And we ended up getting married and getting involved in church. And so even though we do, like you mentioned, play out other places, this is the place where we will always have, we've said that from the very get-go, is we will always be connected and serving at a local body, a church, because God is first. Mm. So
That's awesome. That's awesome. I love how it was a worship service that opened your heart and mind to God. And I think that's true for a lot of people. A lot of people, there's something powerful that happens. And I know I already told you this, but Bruce and I talked in our segment about why it's so important to come and to be gathered together. It's not enough to just sit in your car and listen on Spotify. Although that's great. You can have private worship moments.
Yes.
But there's something very powerful about being gathered together with other believers where the Spirit is present. What about you, Will?
Well, what you just described is pretty much how I came to Christ. I grew up in church. And so, you know, the old joke about, I think it's Tim Hawkins says, you know, man, I wish I had a cool testimony. You know, like, wish I was addicted to crack. I don't have one of those things. Like, I grew up in church. I grew up with not just parents, but an entire family group that did not know the meaning of the word conditional love. So I grew up around people who always loved me and made me feel real special. And grew up going to church my whole life. But one night I was at a concert in Atlanta, Georgia. And they were doing this candle lighting ceremony. And I was in the second row. It was a Christian concert, a big outdoor Christian concert. And I remember looking back behind me, and there's like 50,000 people on this hillside, and everybody's got their candles lifted high, and everybody's singing and worshiping. And I felt like so out of place. And I was like, I'm the only one here who's out of step with the band. You know, like, I'm the only one here. What are they feeling? And I just felt this immediate, just like, the only way I can describe it is like a draining of my heart. And I was like, what is going on here? And so I was really quiet the whole ride back to our home in Florida. And when I got back to my parents' house, we lived out in the middle of nowhere. And there's, you go outside and there's just millions of stars. And so I just opened up my heart and literally asked the Lord to cleanse me and the Holy Spirit to fill my heart. And that singular moment was something I felt like I always wanted to be involved in. I always wanted to be a part of a group of people worshiping together. And that's really what's piloted kind of my life ever since then. And that shortly after that, I meet the lady to my left here, and the rest is history.
Yeah. Okay, so you guys, you're on stage every Sunday, or every Sunday you're in town, and you're seeing us. So you get a very different perspective during worship than us sitting in the seats.
Can be a little intimidating sometimes.
Yeah, and all eyeballs are on you, but maybe not. So I want you to talk about, what is your vision for worship? And what are you guys trying to do? It's not a concert.
No.
It's not a performance. So how do you envision it?
Well, you know, here's what's really amazing about Christ Fellowship in particular, and I'm not trumping this up because it's my home church, but but really it's... our vision for worship is, and for our whole department, really, it's to hear the church sing. It's to hear the church sing. And, you know, it's happening as we speak. If you've been a part of our services for a while, you know that every once in a while we strip everything away musically to where it's just like, you know, a piano or just a guitar or something. And we tell everybody, it's like, hey, listen, when we're singing songs, we're not singing at you. We're not singing to you.
Or for you.
Or for you. Exactly. We're singing with you. And these are truths that we're declaring together. And so we tell people this all the time. Our job as worship leaders is to work ourselves out of a job. So if I can get up on a stage or a platform and start off like sing the first two words of a song and the congregation takes over, hands go up like a goalie, mission accomplished. And what's amazing is that our church is a singing bunch of jokers. I mean, it's the most amazing sound ever. And I honestly think that is the sound that really pleases the heart of the Father, is to hear all of his people singing together. And one of the more amazing experiences that happened for us whenever we first came to Christ Fellowship, when we first did the 21 days and we were singing these bilingual songs. And you hear from if you're on the stage perspective, you hear this unintelligible noise coming from you because you have people singing in Spanish and you have people singing in English and you can't understand what the whole congregation is singing.
But they're all on the same note,
exactly. They're all on the same note,
roughly.
But they're all singing from the same heart. And it's absolutely the most beautiful thing ever. So really succinctly, our vision for worship here, really our vision for worship anywhere, is to hear the church and the body sing. And that's everything we do, every decision we make, every lighting cue, all that kind of stuff, it's all tailored to that end.
Yeah, I think just to kind of even add on to that is the point is the unity. You know, this is a place where we get to actually be unified and we actually become one voice. And Will and I do not believe that our voices are more pleasing than mm-hmm. that of the bride of Christ, and them all lifting up one voice together. When we hear you all sing, it is moving. It is touching to hear your voices. And even people that are listening online will call me, like, you, our church is impacting others when they sing, because that is the most text I get from people that watch online that don't even go to church here. Is they say, oh my gosh, the congregation, I could hear them singing.
Oh, that's cool.
And
do
it
you
was
have
beautiful.
The congregation mic'd?
Absolutely.
Yes, we do.
Ah, that's cool.
We do.
Yes, we do. And
watch
so,
what you say, folks.
Yeah. So that's important to us. And that was something, you know, we definitely articulated up front, is mm-hmm. we want the church to be able to be heard when they sing, because there's no voice more powerful and beautiful than that of the bride, you know, lifting up their voices together to one King. And, you know, there's so many places in the Bible that talk about unity and how, what a blessing unity is. I was reading Psalm 133. It was a Psalm of David. Mm-hmm. So it was a song where he says how good and pleasant it is when God's people live in unity. It's like precious oil poured on the head, running down the beard, on Aaron's beard, down the collar of his robe. And so we just see the Bible even talking about the beauty and the blessing of unity.
Yeah.
And so what better place than to practice unity when we come to worship in a gathering and to be unified?
Yeah, that's a beautiful picture.
Yeah,
it is. And so I think another really important part of the worship, and when we say worship, we recognize that all of the service is worship, right?
Yeah. Right.
And that worship also occurs in other parts of your
yes.
life. It doesn't have to just be restricted to a church. You can
Absolutely.
Worship in nature. You can worship on your bedroom, mm-hmm. worship on your closet floor. Mm-hmm. We've all, you know, experienced that. But when we're gathered together for a worship service, the worship music part is a big part of it. And I've heard it said that really you learn just as much theology from the worship music
mm-hmm. you do. Mm-hmm.
as you do from the sermon, mm-hmm. because those lyrics stick in your head. Mm-hmm. I mean, most of the time I leave, and for the rest of the day, those songs are just on loop,
yeah.
you know?
You know, music, if you will, is a way to drop the truth from your head to mm-hmm. your spirit, to your mm-hmm. heart. It really is. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
And so how do you guys pick songs? Like, what goes into that? And I want to know, are there, like, big knockdown dragouts back here?
Oh, no.
I want this song.
None that we're going to talk about in a podcast.
That's for another podcast.
Yeah, that's for the Marriage and Family podcast. honestly, and this is so simple, but it's a lot of it is just a feel thing. Is what's a song that we feel that we identify with, that we identify with the truth of, that we, mm-hmm. that, you know, we as like, not just Crystal and I, but like our whole team, like we can go mm-hmm. like, yeah, we like this, this seems like it's the language that our church would say, or our church would sing, or it's connected to a truth that we're going to be talking about. Mm-hmm. And then one of the biggest things that we're lucky enough to get to do to select songs for Sundays, we get to hear a little bit of an advanced copy of Bruce's message. And Bruce and us sit down every week and we talk about his message. And prior to that, we've prayed over the Bible verses and that he's going to be talking on, and we'll have songs selected based on that. Mm-hmm. And
so if you sense a theme, it's
absolutely.
Because it was intentional.
Right, absolutely. Yes. And a lot of the times we are right on the money with, yeah, these songs are matching up great with what Bruce is saying, but a lot of times the way he takes a particular verse is a turn that we couldn't have anticipated, or he wants yeah. to take things different, and so we change things up slightly from there. But it's really just a feel thing more than anything. We just kind of sense what the Lord's doing and what the Lord wants to say, and also there's practical things that we could get into for another hour.
Yeah, like who can play that weekend.
Well, and, well, more along the lines of like, you know, how many times have we done this song?
Oh, yeah,
and,
yeah.
and how many times should we do this song? And how are people resonating with it and things like that. But it's really just like a gut feel. Like if you cook food, that you, a lot of times you have like just a sense of like, you know what, I know the timer says there's 10 more minutes, but I know those cookies are done.
Yeah.
And it's kind of that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So it's really just a lot of time in prayer and just
well, and a good collaboration with the
yes,
rest of
yeah.
the team.
That's huge for us. That's yeah. huge for us, because you know, it's not, it's not the Will and Crystal show or whatever.
Right.
This is an absolute team effort. And honestly, the cross collaboration we have here is very, very unique, and it's really special. And so we really want to treasure that and honor that as much as we can.
Yeah, that's great. Mm-hmm. Okay, so what can we do as those of us sitting in the seats? I was going to say pews, but we don't have pews. Those of us sitting in the seats. You know, Crystal, you mentioned, and Bruce talked about this a little bit too, but like there's the preparation for worship starts before you sit down.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. I think, you know, it's important that we shift our mentality of what can I get when I come to church? You know, what can I get when, you know, I get it that sometimes you're tapped out and you do need to come receive. There's nothing wrong with that. And that's what the beauty of the body is that we carry one another.
When you're weak, others are strong.
Yeah. And so there's a beautiful, hey, if you're tapped out, come receive from the Lord. But if you've got a song, if you've got something to sing about, then come prepared. Come with your heart ready to worship. And I think it is. It's a shift from what can I get when I go to church to what can I give when I go?
Yeah.
And that's the heart of a worshiper is worship is what can I do for you, Lord? I love you so much. You know, here's my worship. And when we look into also as we shift our thoughts towards what does the Bible say about worship? One of the verses that we share with our team members and often is in Romans 12. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve God's will as his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So worship we see here is more than a song.
Yeah.
It's more than
it's
us
whole life.
We're singing. It's not
whole
a platform.
Life.
And early on in my life, the Lord transformed my heart as a worshiper because I did start thinking it was a song. And I will never forget the first year I was on staff. There was some areas in my heart that just kind of grieved me, and it was really hard. It was really hard my first year of ministry. Mm-hmm. And I remember sitting down at the piano one day thinking, Lord, I don't even feel like worship. And because I didn't grow up churched, I did not grow up with the, you know, understanding. So for me, it was music. But then I sat down this one particular day and I just felt the Holy Spirit leading me to Abraham and Isaac in the Bible. And that story of where, you know, Abraham tells Isaac, we're going to go up on the mountain and we're going to worship the Lord. There was no music. There was a sacrifice being brought to the Lord. So this was not a song. This was not a service. So this act of worship we see is
an offering.
An offering. And so it really transformed my heart. And, you know, it was like the ding, ding, ah. And it was like, this is what you require, is you require so much more. It's that Romans 12. It's the offering of your lives. It's everything. I mean, in Abraham, you know, he had no lamb. So he was willing to bring his hope of his future nations, you know, is what Isaac was. And, you know, honestly, it grieved me just a little bit because I thought, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to lay down some of these things before the Lord. But when I did, it transformed how I worship on a platform. So I think, you know, all of us coming together in this building, when we begin to shift our mentality, you know, of what can I get, is what can I bring? And we come ready to sing loud. Yeah. We come ready to worship biblically. Dive deep in the Bible, read about worship and what it says about worship.
Yeah.
And develop your more depth in your personal worship life outside of church.
Yeah. And I know for me, sometimes if I come in and I'm just not there. I'm not engaged. I'm just not in a good place.
Yep.
It really is the people around me that encourage me.
Yes.
When I see the man in front of me or the lady next to me really singing her heart out. Mm-hmm. And look, let's just be clear. You don't have to be a good singer.
Nope. No.
Nope.
It's really not. It's not about like, how good am I? You know, it's about joining in and being
That's
active
true.
Participant.
So
and I started thinking about that for me, like, you know, if I'm not, if I'm coming in from a in a difficult place, mm-hmm. but I'm willing to, like you said, mm-hmm. offer myself yeah. in worship, then I'm also not only pleasing the Lord, but I'm also encouraging my brothers and sisters yes. in Christ around
exactly.
me.
Yes.
And yeah. so that's why we want everyone to be active and yes. participating. And
it makes a difference.
Sure. Because we've all been in those worship services where everyone looks half asleep and yeah. dead.
It's a rainy day.
Yeah.
It's too hot.
no one's really engaged. And I grew up in a church like that. Like yeah. I grew up in two different, very different church environments. My first church experience was in a very like fundamentalist, low key, like we were singing these glorious words in monotone.
Yep. Yeah.
you know, yeah. no expression. And it's like expression was bad. mm-hmm. And then my father decided that that wasn't right, that God was more, the Spirit was more active than that. So then we went to this Pentecostal church that was like as polar opposite as you yeah. could get. Yeah. I mean, there was like people speaking in tongues. There uh-huh. were demons being cast out. Uh-huh. I mean, there was slaying in the Spirit. Yes. It was all the things. Yeah. Yes. But I think between those two extremes, I learned some freedom in it. Yeah. I learned to find yes. freedom. Absolutely.
Freedom in worship is really powerful and important because when you're freely able to express yourself before the Lord, there's this freedom that is supernatural
yes.
that comes. And I love what you were saying too about, you know, just knowing it was more than just truth and head, that there's got to be some heart, because I was even thinking today, I was thinking about the Samaritan woman and how Jesus sat down with her. And he said to her, let's see, in John 4, woman, Jesus replied, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. So what is he saying? Anywhere.
Yeah.
There's not a holy place. It's where you are going to yeah. become the holy place.
Yeah. I love that interchange because she starts out wanting to debate where.
Yeah.
She's like, let's have this theological discussion, yeah. Jesus, about where. Because you Jews like, say this and we yeah, say this. And,
right.
and he's like, yeah, I'm going to take you to the heart of the matter.
Yeah, exactly.
and then he goes on to say, you Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. And he says, yet there is a time coming and has now come when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth.
Yeah.
For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is a spirit, and if his worshipers must worship in the spirit and in truth. So there's no separation from the head and the heart.
Right.
And it's right. important to engage both. And we have to understand that it's not just, oh, I don't want to, you know, get all hyped up, but it's like your spirit is something that's different than your head.
Yes.
You know, and it's a way to supernaturally engage God. Yeah.
We're not brains on sticks.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. The way there's a book I've referenced earlier in the podcast by James K. Smith. He says, you are what you love.
Yeah.
Is the name of it. And he says, you know, we a lot of times we treat, especially in the Protestant tradition, we treat our people as brains on sticks.
Yeah.
And we forget we're holistic beings. We're embodied.
It's yes. a good way of putting it.
We're
it's
emotions. Good. We're
yeah.
all, we're the all the things.
Mm-hmm. Give yeah. God all those things. Give him
yeah.
your mind, yes, but also your emotions.
And like your body. And
David the sticks that your brain is on, too.
And the stick that your brain important. Is on. Those spines are important.
Yep.
They're good.
It's all important when yeah. we worship the Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we always close in prayer on the podcast. Okay. So which one of you is going to pray for
sure,
our listeners?
I absolutely will. Well, Father in heaven, we thank you for the honor of just getting to share about your word and who you are and the very present reality of your Holy Spirit that guides each and every one of us, Lord. And I just pray that over the next week and days, Lord, that your Spirit will guide all of us to a closer relationship with you and that our hearts would be united even more in embodiment of worship of your name and your presence and your face and your glory and your love and your majesty and all the things that you are, Father. And so, Lord, we just ask all this in the mighty, mighty, matchless name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. All right, everybody. Oh, we will not see you back next week. That's usually how I close the podcast. But I should let you guys know, we're going to take a little 2-week break because of schedules. Bruce is going to be gone on a fabulous anniversary cruise with his lovely wife.
I love that.
And then I am going to take a class up at Northern Seminary in Chicago for a week. So we're just going to have to take a little pause. We tried to pre-record episodes, but, you know, sometimes it just doesn't work. Yeah. So, but we'll be excited because we're going to come back and we're going to start a new series, and it's a big one. We're going to talk about love versus sex.
Yep.
So pray for that.
Absolutely.
All right, everybody. We will see you back in 2 weeks.